You're listening to LCC Alumni Stories, a show dedicated to highlighting the amazing alumni of Lansing Community College. I'm Steve Robinson, president of LCC, and on each episode, I have the awesome privilege of getting to know one of our many inspiring alums and hearing about their experiences at and since leaving LCC. The LCC alumni community is expansive and far-reaching. They're an incredibly diverse group of people representative of all walks of life, working in hundreds of industries across the country. LCC Alumni Stories shines a bright light on alumni who make a positive contribution to their community and showcases those who've overcome obstacles and barriers to achieve academic and personal success. These are their dynamic stories. My guest today is Joshua, who is really one of my favorite kind of alumni stories because not only did he attend Lansing Community College, but after graduating in 2019 and transferring on to university, he returned to LCC, where he currently serves as a professional faculty tutor. Welcome to the show, Joshua. I'm excited to be talking to you again.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it's going to be a great conversation because you have an interesting story. You're an immigrant to the United States. You learned English here. And I've heard a lot about your story, and I can't wait to share it with our listeners. Tell me a little bit about your role as a professional faculty tutor before we start talking about how you got here.
I'm tutor at LCC. I tutor psychology, history, human nutrition, and religion.
Really? Okay. Yeah. That's a broad variety of classes. So you help our students who are looking on study skills, preparing for exams. Tell me a little bit about what these sessions are like when you sit down with our students.
Usually when they have homework and they are a little confused, they don't know what to do, they are coming to the tutoring. We are talking about the homework, and I read the assignment and just explain to them what the assignment is.
Okay. So, and what's interesting about you, and we'll get to this part of the story, you're helpful to them because you went through a similar process when you came here as a student, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So one of the things I wanted to, first of all, thank you for doing that important work with our students. It really helps with their success, and I appreciate the time you spend with our students helping them be successful in the classroom. Now, one of the things that you and I have talked about, because Joshua and I have talked before, you are an author, and you have a book coming out about your incredible story from before you moved to the United States. Tell me a little bit about the book. What's its title?
The book is, the title is Becoming Joshua, because I wasn't Joshua, my name was something different.
Okay.
And I earned that name.
Tell me how you earned that name.
So when I came to the LCC, I didn't know English.
Right.
I didn't know how to speak English and read and write. So I enrolled at LCC. I learned English, and one of the tutor who was tutoring me to learn English, she heard my story, and then they adopted me. So, and then when they adopt me, they asked me if you want to change your name, and I said, absolutely. And they choose Joshua.
They adopted you?
Yes, officially I have family after years.
That's fantastic. Now, they heard your story, and it's a compelling story, which is why they wanted you to write it down. Tell me that story. What story do you tell in the book Becoming Joshua?
So I'm from Iran, and almost 16 years ago, 17 years ago, I converted to Christianity.
Okay.
And in Iran, you cannot convert.
I see.
To the other religion.
So that's technically against the law, what you did.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So I converted to Christianity. We start to have house church, and then unfortunately the government arrested me and I went to prison for that. And then after a few times, I had no any other choice. So I went to Turkey as a refugee. I was in Turkey for 2 years, 2.5 years, and then I came to the United States.
So in the book, you relate that story of being imprisoned for your religious beliefs,
yes.
Right? Which I understand was very, very difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah. For our listeners, can you give a bit of a understanding of what some of the hardships that you don't have to go into deep detail, but I know from talking to you before that this was an incredibly traumatic experience.
Yes. So prison in Iran is very different than America.
Okay.
I wasn't in prison in America, but I was in Iran. So in Iran, when you're in prison as a person who converted, they don't just put you in prison. They take your soul.
How?
So it's not just physically.
Okay.
They psychologically, they abuse you, which when they release you, you still have trauma, you know, and it takes years and years, and you cannot get rid of that because it wasn't for 1 year or 2 years or 3 years physically being in one room. They abuse you psychologically in many different ways.
Oh, no. Well, I'm so sorry that happened to you. Now, how long were you imprisoned in Iran?
They arrested me a few times. The second time was the longest one, which means it was about 15 months, but...
15 months?
The second time, yeah. First time was 3 months, second time was 15 months, and then a few other times, which overall together I was in prison in Iran for 27 months.
That's awful.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry that happened to you, but in the book, which is coming out soon, you describe this this trauma. And how you have overcome it through first becoming a refugee. Now, you first went to Turkey. Tell me a little bit about that. How did you leave Iran? How did you get out of the country? And what was it like there as a refugee?
Living in Iran and going to Turkey was really hard. You know, I still remember when I left Iran, you know, I turned back for the last time I saw the mountain in Iran.
Mm-hmm.
And I told myself, you won't get back soon, or you never. I never forget that moment. I even draw that moment to remember, which I can't even forget. So when I went to Turkey, I enrolled to United Nations as a refugee, mm-hmm. and then the process was, it was a long process. So I didn't have any money. I didn't have anything except my backpack.
Wow. Wow. I want to ask you a question about leaving Iran then, because I when I heard you talking, I heard two things. One is, even though terrible things had happened to you in Iran, you were very sad to leave your country, right? You looked at the mountains and you had this realization that you might not see that landscape again. Yeah. What kind of feelings did you have as you were having that complex thought of, I love where I'm from, but I was treated so poorly here. Talk to me about what that was like for you.
You know, even, you know, the government treated me very well, not me, many people like me,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it's still where that's the place that I born.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? And there is a lot of people, they need help spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I can help them physically. We try. But spiritually, they really need help. And for me, it was when I found Jesus in the darkest country.
Mm-hmm.
And life was much better for me in that time, even when I was in prison, when I was in pressure, because I knew the real freedom is not the type of freedom that government give it to you. The real freedom is the freedom that you will find, and you will understand what the truth is.
Wow.
And I wanted to share that truth with anyone, you know, even the homeless, those people who are poor or rich, it doesn't matter, because even if you have money and you are rich, if you don't have a real freedom, which is, to me, the real freedom is knowing the truth,
mm-hmm.
you are still poor.
Right. And speaking of being poor, you mentioned that all you had was your backpack.
Yes.
You're a UN refugee in Turkey. How do you get from Turkey to the United States?
So UN interviewed me in a few times,
mm-hmm.
and then they asked me which country you don't want to go. They don't ask you which country you want to go.
So they ask you where you don't want to go.
Yeah.
Wow. So you told them which countries you didn't want to go to, and then what happened?
And then they choose me the country America.
Okay.
And then after America, they send me again email and they told me which state or do you know anyone? And mm-hmm. I said, I don't know anyone and I have no clue
wow.
about America. So right. they choose here, mm-hmm. Lansing,
uh-huh.
and I came to the Lansing.
Wow. So you were part of a refugee program that brought yes. you to Lansing with just your backpack.
Yes.
Wow. And how did you end up here at LCC?
So when I came here, it was St. Wilson Catholic Church.
Okay.
And then in first 6 months, we couldn't enroll in any college because I should have been resident.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. So they send us to the library in Lansing, in Capital, mm-hmm. to you know to just learn some of the basic stuff.
Uh-huh, like right down the street.
Yep, mm-hmm. exactly.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then one of the teacher in library, they brought us to the Lansing, to the LCC,
mm-hmm.
and then they told us we can learn English here,
okay.
and then if we want, we can continue our education.
Right, and that's when you did the ESOL program here at LCC.
Yes, yes. Yeah. I came to the LCC, and then I start ESOL level 1.
Uh-huh.
Very
right
basic.
At the beginning.
Yes, because I didn't know any English. And I had tremendous professors.
Yes.
You know, they didn't just taught me English. They taught me how to come back to the life. Because when I came, I had a lot of trauma, I had a lot of pain,
mm-hmm.
I had back pain in that time, I couldn't walk very well. I was using walker to coming to the
You were
LCC.
Using a walker to come here?
Yes.
Okay. And those professors, not only did they help you with your English, you then started taking classes. Tell me about that, transferring from ESOL to actually taking 4-credit classes.
Yeah. So after I finished the English, one of my professors in that time, Mrs. Goraita,
mm-hmm.
she told me, if you want to improve your English in a better way, so let's take some classes like psychology, history, which will help you to learn better listening, better speaking.
Mm-hmm.
So I took some classes, and then I thought, I love it.
Mm-hmm. So you really, really liked the classroom.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. What were some of your favorite classes?
Absolutely. Psychology classes was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved those professors, which they taught me psychology and reading and writing. I still remember every second of those classes.
Wow. Wow. And you've put a lot of that into practice. We'll talk about that in a minute about mm-hmm. the book. But tell me a little bit about... you don't have to say where you're transferring, but you've been very successful here as a student. You're a professional mm-hmm. tutor, so you help other students be successful. Yeah. But now you're transferring to a university. What do you hope to study, and what degree do you hope to earn at university?
My goal is graduate as a psychology student.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that I want to study psychology, because I really want to understand why some people torture.
You want to understand what moves people to torture.
To torture others because of, you know, belief.
Right.
Or because of who they want to be. And you know, to me, that field is very important. You know, I just want to understand human behavior better.
Right. And you come at this from a very specific vantage point because of your experience.
Yes.
There are not many people studying torture who have been through what you've been through.
Yeah.
This might be too personal a question, but when you read about things like humans mistreating other humans or the psychology behind torture, that must be so hard for you given what you've been through. What's it like to study that on an academic level when you've experienced it so personally? Is it harder, you think?
When you experience it, definitely is not good because you are in that situation. But in academic, it's still not easy.
No. I mean, do you ever have to put down what you're reading and take a break?
Yes. Yeah. It's happened to me a lot. Sometimes when I read some of the human behavior book and that those books is about torturing other people or why they do this, it takes really more time because... You know, I have to stop many times and drink water or sometimes walk and then come back and then read it again.
Because it brings back traumatic memories.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow. So as you're working with your professors, and I know you and I've talked about your professors and with your professors, they were moved to encourage you to write your story. Tell me about that. Which professors told you you need to write this down, and how did that actually start?
It's all started with Mrs. Garaita.
Okay.
And she was working with me in ESL level 2, level 3, 4, 5, all the way.
She was there with you all the way.
And yes, yeah. And I remember when I started to learn to write one paragraph, she was with me. And then when I started to write the essay, I remember I wrote the essay about, you know, about my fate and what's happened to me. I remember she read that essay for first time and she told me, that's the biggest story.
It is a big story.
Yeah. I never forget. She encouraged me. She told me, and I said, I cannot write a lot. And she told me, just write essay, you know, one by one, and then put it together, and then you will see the result.
So that's inspiring to me. I've shared this with you. I started my career as a writing teacher, and I'm so inspired by what you shared, because you went from not understanding or speaking the language at all to being able to read and write, start with a paragraph, then an essay. And you are about to be a published author. You are publishing a book.
Yeah.
Are you proud of that? That is a really big accomplishment.
Yeah, that's for the person who came to the United States with not knowing any English, and in 6-7 years, graduate and write a book. I'm really happy. But at the same time, I wasn't the person who finished the book.
Tell me about that.
Yeah.
You weren't the same person. The same person who started the book is not the same person who finished the book. Tell me about that. Yeah.
Because when I start to write the book, you know, I had around 300 pages.
Okay.
And then my mom and dad, which they adopted me, they are tutor here too, they found some publishers and some offers to help me to write to make it better.
Right.
And then, because of the trauma that I had, I wasn't able to have a connection with anyone or to explain to everyone like what's happened to me. Until one day I took a math class at LCC, and the tutor who helped me about the math, my math class, she was an author and she wrote some books, but she never published in that time.
Okay.
And then we were talking about the book as well, and then I gave my book to her. She read it, and she gave it back to me with 20-page question.
Really?
Yeah.
So she came back with a lot of feedback and notes and questions.
Yeah. And I told her, I think instead of asking me question into the paper, why you let's just start it. I want you to write the book. And then we started again by spending 100 hours together talking again and writing that book.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. And it's finally done and it's going to be published.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to see it. I want to get one of the first copies. I want to buy one of the first copies.
Thank you.
In addition to your writing, Joshua, you have done a lot of drawing. Talk to me about what you draw. What do you like to draw?
When I was a child, I loved to draw. And even my story started with drawing because I start to draw a cross in my arm and it end up, I tattooed and then I got beat from my father because he was so mad why I tattoo cross.
Wow.
And then, so it's all started with drawing. And then I love to draw black and white.
Okay, right. It's like a pen and ink drawing that you do.
Yes. Yeah.
Then you're very good. You're very good. So what other subjects do you like to draw?
I usually love to draw face.
Okay.
Because I think like when you draw the face, you pay attention to every single line in a face.
Okay.
And it shows me, each line shows me the story of that person. So I love to draw the face.
Are there going to be any of your drawings in the book?
We have three of this drawing, they are going in the book, and then we are going to have an art gallery.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Right, right. So there would be an exhibit of your drawings. Now, the ones that are in the book, what particular drawings will be in there with the story?
We choose three of these drawings, and each of them represents of one part. Like the part one, I was in Iran. Mm-hmm. The part two, I was in Turkey, and the third part, I was in America.
Okay,
and so I'm in America.
So these are then illustrations that supplement or go along with what you write about in the book.
Yes,
in the
yeah.
book. Well, it's such an accomplishment, and the one thing I would like to say, Joshua, is that every time I've spoken to you about this, you've been so gracious to credit your professors and the people who have helped you, and you are repaying that to our students by helping them as a tutor. So I want to thank you for that. Also, you mentioned to me that there are other Iranians who've been through what you've gone through, and you've spent some time encouraging them to write. Can you talk to me a little bit about that? How have you encouraged other people to make sense of what happened to them through writing?
So I decided to, because I couldn't encourage some of the special women who was in prison in Iran, and now I know them, mm-hmm. to write about what's happened to them, except I'm the one who starts to write about it, to make it book, and then tell them.
Okay.
Because writing about pain is not easy. And it's not just about the pain, especially those who goes through the trauma or through the prison in Iran, special women. It's not easy to talk about it.
Right.
Because I went to prison in Iran as a man. Mm-hmm. And then it took me 6 years psychologically until I prepare my mind to talk about it.
Right.
And I cannot even imagine for women how much would be hard, because even living as a woman in Iran is not easy.
Okay.
And imagine if you go to the prison as a woman, you go 10 times worse than men's.
Really? Is that so? You have learned that the experience that women had in prison was more harsh, more intense.
Definitely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's awful to think about. But you shared with me that some of the women you've talked to who've had similar experiences to yours are very happy that you've written your book.
Yeah, they were so. I still didn't give them the book to read it because mm-hmm. I told them you should order and buy the book.
That's right. Order and buy the book. And that's an important role of an author, right? You want people to read it, and, and you have spent a lot of time writing it. So well, that's wonderful. Well, Joshua, I really appreciate you spending some time with me on Alumni Stories. Thanks for what you do for our students.
Thanks
for sharing your story your success here at LCC. And I wish you all the best as you transfer to university to continue your studies in psychology.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me here.
Yeah. LCC Alumni Stories is recorded and produced by Steve Robinson on LCC's downtown campus. The soundtrack, Who Told You, is licensed through DeWolf Music and was performed by Ian McCanty. Thanks for listening. Learn more about what our alum have been up to at lccconnect.org. If you're an alum from LCC and you want to share your story with me, send me an email at steve_robinson@lcc.edu. Until next time, keep learning. This is LCC Connect on WLNZ 89.7 FM.